wonderful experience, and hopefully in the summer I gotta get another job and get some more new skill, regardless of what I'm doing. And it's a good idea to get my skill rolling, and so it's a good thing to do to get out a young person. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Lisa Cushman. I'm the secretary. I have my master's in counseling. I just completed my hours to be a marriage family therapist. I'm hopefully going to test in the spring for licensure, and I'm now looking for a job.
Good morning. I'm Linda Porrell. I'm the CCB board liaison to Blind Students of California. I'm president of San Francisco chapter, and too many other credits to mention. A social worker at the Lighthouse for the Blind in San Francisco.
I'm Mark Bazin. I'm the treasurer for the Blind Students of California. I'm also president of the Glendale Burbank chapter, and for a living, I have my own business, Bazin Communications. I'm an inspirational speaker, business coach, and author.
So we probably want to hear from the audience now, and the audience is growing, so I'll run the mic.
My name is Robin Adams. I'm from the Orange County chapter.
Okay, welcome.
Thank you.
Are you a student now?
No.
Oh.
A student at a school?
Hello. Hello, I'm Warren Cushman, and I live in the Bay Area, and I'm a transportation and an advocate. Thank you.
My name is Gautam Chu. I'm the student of El Camino and Choir Institute, currently member of the BSC.
Oh, Gautam, nice to meet you at last. Yeah, our regular phone call guy.
Okay. My name is Andy Brew, and I was one of the members of the California Alliance of Blind Students back in the early 1970s that was the forerunner of this organization. And I work for the VA as a vocational rehabilitation specialist with a program called Homeless Veteran Supported Employment, and which is a program to find work for homeless veterans. And I supervise five formerly homeless veterans who are acting as employment specialists working to help find jobs for their fellow veterans. So it's kind of an exciting new initiative that we have. B as in boy, A-R-A-C-C-O.
Mary Lou Baracco. I graduated a number of years ago with an Associate of Arts degree from Cuyahoga Community College in Cleveland, Ohio. I was a former vendor back east. And right now, I am just taking some time off.
Hello, John Ross with the Railway Bible League.
Okay. Welcome.
My name is Robert Wint, and I've never been a member of Blind Students of California. But I'm hopefully help folks today.
Okay. All right. If anybody notices anybody walking in, just give a shout out and we'll go meet them. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Linda, and welcome to everyone. I'm glad to see you here. So, a lot going on today. We will start with Lisa Cushman, who will be reading the minutes.
There's Mr. Mike. Okay. I'm going to have to read Braille note with one hand. Am I mic'd? You mean my left? Okay.
Okay, right here. Perfect.
Lena brought the meeting to order at 7:35 p.m. Present, Lena Bandy, Tuan Yen, Lisa Cushman, Art Bazin, Linda Perel, Hazel Harmon. We decided to do only beer and wine at the Welcome to LA party. We decided to charge $6 with an average of 40 people. We will give people one drink ticket when they come into the party. We will sell tickets. Usually in the past, the host will charge one ticket for water and soda and two for beer and wine. Since this is an afternoon event, we do not want unlimited quantities of wine and beer. Hazel asked... Hazel asked how much soda and water we might need. Hazel is going to donate a case of waters. In Southern California, people drink Coke and Diet Coke. We will also get 7-Up or Sprite. The vendors will donate a case of the sodas. BSC can sell the leftovers to the hospitality people. We decided to buy cans or bottles of soda and alcohol rather than pouring it into cups. Hazel offered to bring 60 small plates, napkins, and cups for wine. We decided that one sleeve of cups would be enough. Hazel will get the food at the most reasonable price. Linda suggested that we buy the packages of sliced cheese at Costco. Costco has cheese, crackers, and cookies. Hazel suggested a package of saran wrap for the plates. We agreed to get one case of wine and have half red and half white. Hazel will get smaller glasses so people do not drink as much. Hazel suggested an ice chest. We will get ice from the hotel. We will get Cabernet wine. Hazel will get a corkscrew. Hazel is going to donate a lot of the supplies. She will bring us a receipt for the food. We decided to get Miller or Bud Light beer. Linda wants to be certain that we can help haul the supplies into the hotel. Hazel is going to have a helper and a dolly. Artist will email Hazel the room number. Hazel is going to bring some gloves for handling the food. If there is an emergency, Hazel has two backup people. The BSC board approved the minutes. The social and Robert Wentz outline are in the convention program. Lena put them both in. Robert is going to talk about job search, resume skills, networking, and the job search process. Robert's program will last for 2 hours. Our business meeting will last for 1 hour. We will start the business meeting at 9:00. Artist hoped that we could get the business done in an hour. We do not have that much to do. We have elections. That is some of the most important business. Lena will stay on the board in some capacity. Elections do not usually take that much time. Every person we have ever elected has won by acclamation. Artist would have let one of the two Anthonys be treasurer, but they were not interested. Oh, no. We need to talk about what the membership wants. Lena suggested that we do elections first before we talk about the membership. The treasurer gave the treasurer's report. The balance is $789.29. If Tuan becomes president, there will be a special election for vice president. Lena will have artists collect dues. Either artists and Lisa can work together, or I can give information to Lisa later. Delegate fees. Lena did not need much delegate fees. Lisa pointed out that Lena may have to stay at the hotel. We talked about airline fees. We decided on $150 and $50 for the delegates. Tuan asked what the amount was for the delegate fee. Northern California Social. We got 9 people at this social. We went to California Pizza Kitchen. There were 4 San Francisco chapter members and 5 other people. Lena could not make it. Linda asked Lisa if she could be on the Muttstrut Steering Committee. It will be on September 8th, 2012. The convention social. Artists Lisa and Lena are bringing cards. Well, Lisa forgot cards, but... We talked about not doing refreshments. If we have leftovers, we could use them for our social. We will not have alcohol at our social since it is a student social. Tuan talked about recruiting people from Southern California for our social. Lisa offered to put something about the social in the connection. Wednesday is the deadline, so there is still plenty of time. We talked about technology. Lena adjourned the meeting at 8:45 p.m.
Okay. So... do we have any discussion, motions?
I move that the meeting, the minutes be accepted as read.
Second. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Okay.
Those
are the most entertaining.
Yeah. Difference between what really happened and what was in the
yeah. The watered down version. Yes. No, we're all over. Yeah, we're a special interest affiliate, so like I'm Artis and I are from Southern California. And Linda and Lisa are from the Bay Area, and Tuan's from Sacramento. Yeah. Yep. No problem. Good question. No problem.
What's your name?
Oh, that's Robin. Yeah. Yay. Yeah, yeah. Well, we're not doing elections first. We're going to do treasurer's report next.
The beginning balance was $789.29, and the ending balance was $789.29. But I'll give you a little update. We did sell 42 tickets for the welcome party, so that means we took in a minimum of $252, but some of those might have been purchased here, so it could be a little bit more than that. But if they were purchased all in advance, that would be what we took in. And then we took in $100 at the door for people who either bought tickets at the door or bought extra drinks and so forth. So I think we'll come up pretty well. I didn't get a bill for the products. Jim said he would that Hazel would be sending me the receipt so I can reimburse her for what our part is we're going to pay for. She's donating about half of this stuff. So, okay, that's all I have.
That's awesome. We did really well. Nice job, guys. It was a lot of fun. So, do we have... yeah, I do, actually. Do we have a motion to adopt our treasurer's report?
I so moved.
Okay. Okay, there we go. Okay, all in favor? Any opposed? Any abstain? Okay. Treasurer's report is approved. So I think it's a good idea that we do have elections first, as stated, because we do have a lot of business to cover. We have a lot more than initially. So the offices up for election are president, secretary, and board member at large. So, I'm going to start with the office of president. Are there any nominations for the office of president?
I'll nominate Lee Candy to continue as president.
I second the nomination.
Okay, so I will not be running this election.
How to conduct it, or
what? You conduct
this. Okay. So, to slate for the nomination, and myself, Juan, and Lena Bandy. So, okay. What? Not nominate me? Okay.
So that
probably
Leecher
then. Wait. Yeah, that Leecher has to do it.
What's that? End of the
mine.
Yes,
we can hear you.
We can hear you.
I'm nominating
Twan.
Thank you. Anyone second
it?
Okay,
yeah.
You can't second it,
Twan.
Oh,
no.
I can
do it. Doesn't have to be second. All right, so are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? And closing, are there any other nominations? Do each of you want to speak a little bit for yourself? Here you go.
As some of you know, I have been the president of Blind Students of California for the last 2 years. And I am here willing to continue as president. And I have a lot of ideas to do something different with BSC, to try some new things to move forward. We've been doing a lot more socials and having a lot more member involvement, and I think that's really important as far as what our organization is about. And you know, we're working as a board to plan a lot of new things, a lot of new socials. This is the first time we've had a social at convention, which is really cool. And I would like to continue to move that forward and to continue to be your president. Thank you.
Thank you. Twan, would you like to speak for yourself?
Hi everyone, it is Twan. I'm been the vice president of this organization since spring of this year, and I very love this organization, and I'm very loyal to this, and I do working very hard to get the organization moving and back to its feet, because we are having a lot of different issues going on, and we need to recruiting new members, increasing financial resources, and we are working hard in that direction, and we need to work with the board, and we need somebody who can willing to do that. And I have the capability to working hard and relied on my skills and build my leadership skill, because if I want to do more of that, I need to have some kind of record. Because, for example, I want to be a board member of the state for the CCB, I have to have a tracking record. And in order to do that, I need to be some basic skill. And in order to get through that, and also, I would like to join in the committee someday. And that way to reinforce my skill, my knowledge, and get to know everybody in the whole state, because this is the organization that we come and this is the grassroots organization. Everybody needs to make the decision, and not the leader make the decision. So it's my job. It's to follow what you like me to do, and I my goal is to work in that direction to do what it fulfill, because I'm not the only one doing the job, because we are democratic, so we need people to work together. And we not just relied on leadership to do the work. We have to have some members and work out in the community, go to school, go to anything or recruiting or anything like that to get the membership going, because we don't want this organization to dissolve, meaning to become non-existent, because we part of this affiliate and we are working hard as well as other organizations, like, for example, the CCB board also working really hard, and we also have to work hard as well. So we have to work side by side. We not just relied on our leadership. So our goal is to, or my goal is to get things, the ball rolling, and as well as to increasing membership, financial resources, and hopefully we'll get member to join us and to understand, share any ideas, build friendship, and to do whatever we have to do to get the organization more healthy and stronger. Thank you.
Thank you, both of you. A point of order here. Do we want to give people a chance to join the organization before elections? Yes. Since I'm not conducting elections, I'm gonna give it back to the president.
My thought is, and I'd like board input on this. My thought is that people who are already members who paid their spring at last convention should be members until the end of the meeting. And as far as new members are concerned, if they'd like to join, then by all means. Is there any thought here? Okay, so does anyone who's here wish to join BSC before elections begin? Yes. At this time, yes.
We're looking at that.
We are looking at that, but yes, we are at this time. Okay. Cool.
Robert, let me give you contact information.
Yes, Kadam. Okay. We're going to give, for people who are already members, we're going to collect the dues at the end of the meeting. This is for new members right now. So if you want to join the organization, you can. If not, I'm going to ask that members vote. And unless we have another question or anything, I will pass the microphone back to Lisa to do elections. Hearing none, Lisa.
Okay. We're now going to, we've heard from both candidates. Since Lena's the incumbent and first in alphabet, we'll have her go first. So, all votes for Lena Bandy, please signify by saying aye.
Oh, we're
doing
can we do a hand raise?
Yeah, let's do a hand raise.
Okay. You're trusted. You're a trusted person. Tell me. Okay. All votes for Tuan Yen, including. All right, do we want to start over?
Yeah, start over. We're confused.
All right. All. Okay, very literally. We are voting first, Lena. First, we're going to have votes for Lena Bandy. Then we're going to have votes for Tuan Yen. And we're going to vote by raising hands. So, all votes for Lena Bandy, please raise your hand. All votes for Tuan Yen. So Lena Bandy remains our president. I'm going to return the microphone to Lena to conduct the rest of election.
Thanks, guys. It was close. Before I move on to the office of secretary, I want to thank you for your continued trust in my leadership, and I will continue to work both with the board and members to continue to move the organization forward. So thank you. Now, we will open the floor for nominations for the office of secretary. Okay, nominations don't need a second. I forgot to. So, are there any other nominations for the office of secretary? Are there any other nominations for the office of secretary? I'm sorry? Well, thank you. All right. Are there any other nominations? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Any abstentions? Okay. Didn't think so. Yay. Yes, of course.
Thank you so much for your continued support. I'll continue to do the best that I can for BSC. Thank you.
Your minutes are incredible, so yay. And fun times. We have the election for board member at large. Our current board member at large is Karen Leger, who is not available at this moment. Okay, I open the floor for nominations. Okay. Oh, do you accept the nomination? The duty of the board member at large is to support the officers and to attend the board meetings and just to be a member of BSC. Okay. Are there any other nominations? 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 I know. Yeah? Did someone call for the?
I'll move that we accept Karen Leger's acclamation. Both nominations.
Okay. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Any abstain? Welcome, Cao Dam Chu. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. You want to pass the mic?
Bring it. Hold on, Cao Dam. We all want to hear you. Hold on.
Yeah. Hi. Thank you for thank you for to be but I can do the best I can to work with the board and the officer to support the BSA and try to include more members for the BSC.
Next invention. Oh, okay, no. Okay, we'll. Okay, well. Next convention. But congratulations and welcome to the board. Okay, so. Couple items of new business that have come up recently. One is, as some of you know, the organization called NABS, the National Alliance of Blind Students, has changed its name to ACB Students. Yes. And I am bringing to the board to see what the thought is on changing our name to California Council of the Blind Students. So if anyone has any comments or, you know, what do you guys think? I my personal opinion is that it would show some solidarity with not just the ACB students, but with CCB and ACB as well, as we are a special interest affiliate of CCB. I think it's important to remember that and be part of that. Do we know the question? Yeah, I do too, actually. We do know why the change was made. There were two NABS organizations, and the reason that we made the change is to avoid the constant confusion between the two organizations, just to make it easier and so that, you know, so that ours is ACBS. Yeah, I am too. Yeah, I think that there was a need because I was joining the wrong Facebook groups. You're welcome. Okay, valid point. And we're the group that did change. It's just being open to new ideas, which we clearly are. Not saying they're not. I'm just saying that we definitely are, and it's proven. So,
is there a constitutional process that we have to go through to change the name? And I know this is just a discussion, but do we need to take a few formal steps to make that happen?
I believe we changed our constitution so that we can vote on amendments as they come.
Okay.
We could vote on this today, yes. Yeah. Well, I'm gonna put it up to the membership because that's not an executive decision to make. I personally agree with that. I will say that, but I will leave it up to the membership to either motion to adopt the new name, motion to table, whatever we want to do. If there's any discussion. Yes.
Just for the purpose of the discussion, I'd like to move that we change the name of the organization to
CCB Students. Is there a second?
I second it.
Okay. We have several seconds. As Donna would say, we have several seconds. So is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of adopting the name California Council of the Blind Students, or CCBS, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oh.
Is the name California Council of the Blind Students CCBS, or is the name CC Students?
Well, you could put...
Well, as an acronym,
it would be CC, or initials, it would be CCBS anyway. But it's California Council of the Blind Students.
And is the American Council of the Blind Students?
Yeah, yes. Okay. Yes, they have ACBS as well. Well, it was NABS, which also had BS. In any case... Yeah. Nice. Awesome. Okay. So we were in the middle of the question. Is there any other discussion before I ask the question again? Okay. That's okay. All in favor of adopting the new name California Council of the Blind Students, whose initials would be CCBS, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Motion passed. Awesome. I like it. Okay. Yes?
I have a question. Now, I'm assuming that we'll just finish using the checks as is and then change it on the next time we get the order checked.
How many checks do we have?
I'm not sure.
Okay, I will discuss that one with Donna, because that might, yeah, that's probably going to need to be changed in a few places, too,
right.
Not just our constitution, but in, yeah. All right. Well, yeah, that will be a conversation that I will have with Donna and or Ed, depending on, because Ed is currently managing our treasury. Yeah. And so members know the reasoning for that is there's a lot of transition in the blind students. There's a lot of transition that goes on many times. It's easier not to open bank accounts in Southern California than Northern California than Southern California than Central California and keep moving it around. So that's the situation with that, just for members' information. Another topic of discussion, well, let's do the less controversial one first, the holiday party in Sacramento. So I'm going to give that to Chuan because it was his idea, so I'm going to give him the microphone.
Well, with respect to the holiday party, I have not much update at that point because I did not get the opportunity to recruiting folks from the Bay Area, even though I had talked to Lisa, about that, and she's gonna work it on and then let me know. However, in Sacramento, look like we're gonna have a pretty good people because I talked to a lot of them, and majority are pretty interested. And so, look at that point, Sacramento it's a very good starting point. In the meantime, I will be calling some of the Bay Area chapter presidents and see if they have some interest And once I get that information and good estimate on how many attending from the Bay Area, I will going to do some research on venues, places that are pricey, that are reasonable, or in the financial circumstances for everyone. However, Lisa has suggested some of the places in Sacramento, like the Old Spaghetti Factory, Denny's Restaurant.
No, I did not suggest
Denny's. Oh, no, did you?
I suggested
no
Denny's.
Oh, no, again. Oh, I'm sorry. My very low. Yeah, I did not sell. Right. Okay, sorry about that. My apology. And I look at another place that I've been to. One of my friends is a very good place. It's called Cafe Bernardo. It's right here in close to the light rail station. It's very accessible for everybody who's going from Amtrak, and they took the Amtrak down to light rail station. That's one of the venues that I go to, and the prices are pretty reasonable. About a typical sandwich is pretty good. It's without all the mermaid and lettuce and sausage and salami sausage, something like that in it. It's about $8. $8. They have chicken salad or Caesar chicken salad. That get about another under $10, something like that. It's pretty good. But the space is pretty limited, I think. The space is pretty limited. So that's why I need to know good estimate. If we get like around 30 to 40, we have to look into other places. If we look under like 15 or below, or in the range of 15 to 20, I would say we would go to Cafe Bernardo or other places I haven't looked into yet. But at this point, I need to get some recruiting and interest from other chapters in the Bay Area. And once I get that, I will report to the board and see what we can do from there. If we need to collect tickets or have the member pay on their own, or how is that going to be done? But that probably I had that information, I'm pretty sure, by the November board meeting. I'm working on that. And does anyone have any idea? That would be greatly appreciated. Oh, yeah, talk about that. You remind me that, yeah. It will be in January. I talked to Lisa that she had a Golden Gate chapter in the first Saturday of the month in January. However, she's going to check on that too and find out if she'd be okay. If that doesn't work, I had another option with the second Saturday of the month, which is January 14th, and the other one is January 7th. I can't do on the 21st because that's my local chapter, unless they decide to move date 28. But I don't know if I'm going to be happy with that because that's the day they do officer installation and all that kind of thing, and probably the convention report from myself and from Joni Packy. I have to check into that. For now, I would say like 85% to 90% is January 14th. Okay.
Okay. So my concern is once you get into mid-January, you are well out of the holidays. And understanding that there are holiday parties to work around in December, I still would say that December is a smarter choice for holiday parties. Yes, of course. Yes.
Greater Long Beach chapter has a I Survived the Holidays
event. Oh, that's cool. Okay.
So you could borrow the name. We don't care. I think something like that gives you the flexibility of either anything after Christmas. And the problem is the same thing we have in Southern California.
Sure.
The density is so high that it's almost impossible to attend every single event. And then what happens is some chapters or some affiliates are going to get rubbed out because there's only so many Saturdays in the month.
Right.
So it gives you the flexibility of actually using January. And venues are often a problem in December.
Okay.
I mean, right now, if you go to find a venue, especially a popular kind of restaurant, they're already making reservations if they're not on the chapter.
Okay. And That's a fair point. I just was looking at holiday party and going, there are solutions. I just, you know, I was just pointing it out and opening it up, and thank you. That's also a good idea, to do something similar, like I survived the holidays. Or we could do a pre-holidays in November.
Okay. One of my skills is that I'm a calendar savant. So January 14th is a Saturday, but Monday is the MLK holiday. So that's the third Monday in January. So that is a holiday weekend. There obviously are pros and cons to that. I'm in favor of your picking a particular date, not asking too much about who in the Bay Area can come, because you're not going to get, regrettably, going to get 15 people from my chapter, say, to come. Or, you know, those who come will be those who are very interested in coming, you know, a few of us who are, you know, totally committed. I also would very much advocate for this being a lunch, so that we could get back home.
Okay, and Lisa called for the floor next.
Yeah, I do.
You still have a question?
Yeah,
here you
I
go.
Do, or a comment, actually.
I think that we should probably not have our day conflict with the Sacramento chapter, because we're going to get a lot of people from that chapter going to the party. If you conflict with my chapter, I mean, I don't like it, but, you know, it's not the end of the world. It's the first Saturday of the month. But I'm definitely going to come as long as my mom's in town and I can stay there. Yeah.
That was the suggestion made, and the consideration is that's MLK weekend. We're just having discussion at the moment, so no one's.
I know that meets that weekend is Alameda.
Oh, Alameda meets that weekend. Okay.
Okay.
I hear a slight bit of contempt from Robert. Yeah. That would be fine. And like I said, there's also the option of like end of November. Either, you know, we're just throwing out options. It is quick, yes. That's true too. Which is a holiday, so we could do it right after. In the middle. Yeah, we're just throwing out suggestions right now. Yes, the board meeting is always the second Monday of the month. Always does not change unless notified that it does change. So, which means that the board meeting on the second Monday of the month is always official. Which is what date?
Okay, yeah, so from now to the second Monday of March, I will, the 13th of November, right? Yeah, okay, and then from there, I will definitely have more information, and then whether we're going to do in November or January. The 14th. Yeah, the 14th of January. Oh. Right. Okay. So, yeah, I will talk to my chapter and to get their input. And we'll go from there and hopefully we'll get things rolling as soon as possible and make a popular reservation and find a good spot and things like that. Okay, well, we'll talk about that at the next board meeting. Thank you.
Okay, so if we're talking about it at the next board meeting, it most likely will not be a November social, seeing the time. The time crunch, that's a little bit much. So, yeah, that's not going to happen. That's 2 weeks-ish. So, we will have that decided and let the BSC list know. And there's a couple more items. One is looking at the first year free membership. The concern that has been going on recently is that our membership fluctuates a lot from year to year. And the belief that some of us are seeing is that perhaps it's the free membership for a year and then a lot of people do not want to pay the dues later. So I'd like to get some input on this and what everyone thinks. Did I hear someone?
Yeah, I
oh, you? Okay.
I'm one of those people actually that did that. And what happened 2 times was I never was contacted again.
Aha.
I never got any more information. So that really.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so for me, it kind of fell off of my radar.
Got it.
A lot of information coming out of the body, so I just sort of forgot about doing it. I came back to a convention. And so I believe that there's necessarily there's not anything wrong with it. I think you have, if you're going to make it work, you need to put some mechanism in place that. It's too small, or you know, something that allows you a way to account for the you know those things when they happen. And I don't know how to make it work. I really don't know.
Yeah, we have been contacting our members the last couple of years. Lisa is fabulous at that.
Yeah, the BSC listserv is wonderful. I'm so excited about that.
Yeah, and we also. Yeah, and we also have an officer's listserv for the board, which is really good, too.
It's virtually impossible for a student not to have access to electronic technology.
I would agree with that, yes. Yes?
Can I have the mic?
When I contacted people last year, most people said they couldn't pay. One person was kind of aghast that he would be asked to pay. So, I don't know. I thought free membership was a... What? No, it wasn't. But I thought it was a great idea at first, but it seems like people don't continue when you have the free membership, or they don't send their checks into the state, and it's very hard. You've got people who are not used to using print anyway. It seems like it might work better if we worked like every other affiliate and people became members by paying dues. People were so not expecting to pay when I talked to them.
Another option, instead of sending checks to the state, because I, for one, have a very... I do not write numbers legibly at all. So my mom writes my checks, and no, I'm not ashamed. because I, you know, it can be difficult for people who are totally blind, unless they're really good at writing and using the raise line checks, to send checks into the state. One of my recommendations would be PayPal. Yeah. Hold on. Artist?
Yeah. It's real easy to set up a PayPal account. I could just get the account numbers and the routing number from Ed and set up a PayPal account. We just have to have an email address that we could associate it with. We could just make it something simple like students at ccbnet.org or something. I'm sure we could get that an email approved from Donna that we could set up under, and that way not only would it be easier for everybody to pay their dues, but we'd likely get more dues because people could do it online. And PayPal is pretty easy. You don't... Now, the only thing is distributing the name so people know where to, you know, send it to, and that would have to be, you know, to distribute it out to people, you know. Yeah, in an email, you know, to our list.
Kaldum, you had a question? Credit card at the convention would be difficult. No, he's... Oh, you said cash? Okay. PayPal. Got it. Okay. Cool. Artist, would it be possible to link that PayPal to our affiliate site, correct?
Yes.
Because that would be even easier. We could do both, but that would make it simple for people, too. Is to just link the PayPal account to the BSC site.
Right.
Oh, we did. Joel had set it up for us. I don't know about what's... I have a list of the technical operations group, so I can contact, like, Phil or someone. Because I'm sure they'll do that for us. It was put on hold for a while for server changes and updates. But I think we can get it back online, and we can have the phone number, the conference call number on the site, so that, because it's the only thing that changes is the code for the year. Like next year it'll be, well, I guess it might have to change again since we changed our name. Because the code that I've been using is, for this year I've used BSC 11. And last year I used BS10 as the code, the conference call code. Yes? I know. Yes, because as I said, our website maintenance was put on hold for other server updates for the CCB main website server updates that the technical operations group was handling. So as I said, I will get in contact with them and handle the situation and see if we can't get that website updated. But it does change by the year, and next year it will probably, well, it will very likely change to CCBS12. So it'll just be one extra number. So that's the information on that. Is there any other conversation on free membership? Yes,
no, we didn't.
I know we didn't end it. I know. No, that's why I was saying. Is there any other discussion? I know. I realize we did not end that one. Okay. Is there any discussion? Yeah. Yes?
In case there's anyone here who shows up later today that wants to become a member of the affiliate, then we have, as part of the motion, that the no free membership doesn't come into effect until February 12th.
What? That makes sense. This would be next year's dues.
Yeah, for 2012.
So we will start any new members that join in, well,
for 2012. Anyone who has paid 2012 dues
has to pay. Yes. Yes. Well, what they're saying is if someone wants to become a member right now or today at convention, do they need to pay?
No.
Is what the... Okay.
But they only get a free membership until December
31st. Yeah, they only get a free membership for 2 months. You can do that. Yeah. Or we're going to get that PayPal account up. Hopefully, I'm going to talk to Donna and Ed and to the technical operations group. My desire would be to have that up no later than the next board meeting. So... We have, do you have, did you want to say something?
To respond to the comment about people expectations showing up that membership is free, people may not be arriving today with that expectation. I think of my short time with this group, people have been surprised to hear that the first year was free.
That seems to be the case in some cases, unless they're, recent people or referrals.
I guess I'll just share this with you. A while back, I encountered some students at the university that had come to a CCB convention, and then they came to a chapter meeting, and we got into the discussion about dues, and they were kind of freaked out that, well, wait a minute, I already joined the organization because they were told you are an affiliate of you're an affiliate of CCB, so you also have CCB membership.
That's...
They didn't get that affiliate piece.
Oh, so, okay.
I don't know how that plays out for everybody mentally, but think that's where the problem occurred, that free thing, and they were thinking it was all free.
And I was one of those too my first year. So I totally understand, and the understanding is to join any chapter, no matter how many you join, you pay dues for all of them. So that's the confusing part. I guess BSC, you are a member of CCB and ACP and receive the, you do receive copies of the forum and the Californian and whatever you, whatever format you like as a member of BSC. So it's sort of like a, it has been some people's, it was my home chapter for a while, actually. So it makes sense. It's kind of, it got kind of complicated with the free membership, I think, too. Yes?
Can an affiliate home chapter to be able to vote, don't you have to?
Okay. Oh, really?
No,
because you can be a member at large.
But you don't become a member at large by joining an affiliate.
No, you become a member. Yes, but you become a member of CCB by joining an affiliate. Yeah, then you're a member. Yeah, then some people consider it their home affiliate, their home chapter. It actually can be. It's not recommended, guys. It's recommended that we join our local chapters.
But we don't have local chapters everywhere.
Correct. So if you don't have local chapters, then join. Yeah, of course.
Some people that are members of like vendors, for example, I don't know. Most of those, I mean, there's a lot of them that are just members of vendors.
Yeah.
And there's the same with CCLVI. There's some that are just members of that. You know?
Yeah. Right, so you absolutely can. If there is a local chapter near you, by all means, join it. Yes. Yeah. No. None of us are. But BSC is not my home chapter. I'm in San Gabriel Valley, and you know, all of us on the board serve in some capacity in our local chapters. Yeah, you don't have to do that. Okay. So, is there any further discussion on the free membership? Because that's the motion we have on the table. Okay. I was trying to figure out if there was a second. I was trying to remember. Okay. Oh, there's a second anyway. Okay. So, all those in favor of ending the first year free membership as of 2012, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. The motion passed. Cool. The next... How much time do we have? We're over? Oh. Oh, geez. Okay. So should we do membership calls later?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. Got it. Got you. Okay. Thank you so much. So I don't know that we have time for a discussion on membership calls. We had a couple a while ago, and interest kind of waxed and waned. So if we could have either by email or come see any of us, so we can get our employment seminar underway. If we could come see any of us or send an email to me, my contact information is on the affiliate website. Or if you have something to write with, I can give that to you. Just to let us know what you want to get out of BSC, not CCBS. I'm doing the same thing. Yeah. And not only what you want to get out of being a member, but the membership calls that we had, like if you're interested in doing those or what topics would be good to discuss, if you could send an email or talk to any of us that are on the board, that would be great because we all communicate a lot. So that would be extremely helpful. And I believe that is the last point of business. Although, well, the one other point of business is the delegate and alternate for spring. Yeah. Yep, I think so too. So let's do the delegate and alternate. Does anyone have any input? I realize that I am allowed to appoint someone, and I'd rather get input from the board.
If you want to come to Burlingame, I'd be happy if you would.
Well, I'm definitely planning to come to Burlingame.
Yeah. I'm the delegate for that. But thank you for that.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, Tuan, are you going to be delegate for your chapter next time, or do you know? Because you cannot be delegate for two chapters. That's a rule. Hold on. What? Okay, so it's not... Okay, so at the moment, because he was nominated for delegate for spring, my recommendation is that he is... Okay. So no, you're not eligible. So an artist usually... You're... delegate for your chapter usually? Okay, so the only ones are me, Lisa, and Kaudam. Are you coming to the spring convention? Got it. Awesome. Okay. I would like to take the privilege of being delegate for the spring convention. And as for the board, would you prefer Lisa or Kaudam as the alternate? Because either one is eligible. Oh, that's one way. Yes. Good point. Right, that's where, yeah, that's a good question. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, so... We have Kaudam and Lisa, and I guess we will do a vote. No?
Kaudam has never gotten to do it.
Okay. That's really nice of you. The joy, yes, of being the one to go to credentials at 8 o'clock while I go to resolutions. It is cool. Yeah. Okay, so how about we do this? I'll do a delegate, Cowdam can be alternate, and Lisa can do nominating committee.
Okay, that sounds good. I like
yeah,
that.
That's good.
Okay. Okay, I think that's fair. So everyone wins. Okay. Awesome. So our next board meeting, which all board meetings are open, by the way, folks, is November 13th, which is 14th. I apologize. Yes, I apologize. The date confusion. My apologies. The second Monday of the month, November 14th. And the time is 7:30 again. Yes. That's what I was trying to get my mouth to say. Yes. Board meetings are always open. If it's an emergency and it needs to be a closed meeting, then it would be indicated. But the board meetings for regular official board meetings are open and are supposed to be publicized. And I'll get in touch with the office and make sure that they're publicized for the right date now.
That's
well, a different thing.
Executive session.
Yeah. We don't really have, but some on occasion we have emergency meetings like for the welcome party that are just quick and not really publicized. Okay. So I believe that is all we have, unless we have any comments or questions. Or a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn the business meeting.
Yes. Did you? Yes? Okay, so we had several seconds for the to move to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstained? Okay, this business meeting of the CCBS is adjourned, and I am giving the microphone over to Robert Wendt, career counselor, CSU Long Beach, to do an employment seminar for us. And thank you again for being here.
Okay, I can go ahead and start. Can everybody hear me? Because I hate holding the microphone. It'll drive me really crazy.
You're good.
And I can maintain my volume like this for quite a while.
Okay.
So Tuan, can you hear Rob? Oh, yeah, he's fine, yeah. Okay, that's my next question. Does anybody have any hearing issues? Okay, one of the things that people do not understand about, you know, jobs and that kind of thing is that the whole thing is a process. And it's based on some assumptions. And those assumptions are, you have made the proper decision in the first place as to what you want to be. And so that's something that, you know, we consider in the career services industry, that is probably one of the most important things, is an appropriate career decision. You know, are you picking something that's appropriate for you based on all of the characteristics that you contain? And we often find people who have been taking majors based on social or cultural factors that don't necessarily match that individual. And sadly, what we end up with is people who are very unhappy with what they're doing, or they feel like it's a duty, and they basically go through life hating every minute of their job. So one of the things that I just ran across yesterday, actually, in the gift shop, and I love this. In fact, I'm going to go back and buy it. There's a little magnet down there that said, do what you love, and you will never work a day in your life.
Yeah.
Okay. so that's kind of an assumption. If you start with that, I believe that, that there's a lot of truth in that nugget. So the job search process, after we've got that assumption out of the way, is nothing more than a marketing plan. Now, I know Artis has done a lot of marketing stuff. And so that's how you have to come at this. You have to think, okay, I'm an advertising agency, and my product is me. So what we need to do is sit down and strategize. Our agency needs to sit down, and they need to discuss the features of the product. And those features are all the characteristics that you feel an employer and or the public might like to hear. So I encourage everyone to start out by sitting down and going through the, and I'm going to identify these later, going through the sections of a resume and actually just writing out the information that's going to be used in those sections. Because ultimately what happens, you have it there, you can use it as a database to pick from, and you'll always have a current resume because there'll be a basis upon which to create it. The problem with that is some people don't do it. And so it really presents problems because what happened? Here's what happened. Your friend gives you a call and says, hey, Benny, I know you're a social work major. Guess what? There's a job and you have to get a resume in by 2 o'clock this afternoon. Benny has never had a database. Benny hasn't sat down and written anything out. So Benny throws together a resume, and it can be done. You can do a resume in 20 minutes. I believe you have done it. But I will tell you, any experienced reviewer of resumes knows it was done in 20 minutes. Okay. Some of you may have, some of the board members have been around a while. If you've ever taught a class and read student papers and done it for a while, you can spot it. You can spot it a mile away when someone hasn't put any time. It is very easy to do. I wish I had known that when I was a student, too. Because we all BS our way through some situations. So that being said, let me talk about the database real quickly. Your job is to write down every darn thing that may contribute to a resume or a job search. And that may include your education, any certificates you may have gained as part of your education, or any other credential that you may have developed through your education, or licenses and that kind of thing. Get them on paper. And even if it's a perfect attendance award, get it down anyway. Write it all out. Create an electronic file when you do this, and you'll be able to pick back through it later, and I'll get to that. So you do that with your education section. The next thing you want to do is create a skills section, and you do the same thing. What skills do you have? What can you do? You speak a language? What computer software are you familiar with? And skills can be pretty broad. Sometimes people will talk about their conversational skills. They'll talk about their ability to do research. I personally believe that skills should be able to quantify or prove a skill. So if you say something about great attention to detail, there better be some place in your resume where I see you've done something that has to do with detail, or you have something you can share as part of the interview when you say that. And if you don't put it in there. Why? Because you may get asked. Employers are notoriously sneaky sometimes in getting information from people. And one of the things they'll do is, hey, we're looking at your resume here, and it says you are thing X. Could you explain that to us? So be very careful about what you put in that section. Additionally, you may have an experience section. And again, the things that can fall in experience are work experience, volunteering, if you've ever volunteered, if you've worked in a family business, and even something like membership in this organization may be enough to give you evidence that you know how to communicate, know how to talk, do whatever you gotta do. Write them down, everything. Now remember, it doesn't mean you're going to use this stuff for all of it, but what it does mean, I won't put those away. What it does mean, <I'm sorry. laughs> I already have those. What it does mean is that you're going to have a database ready in case you need it. And again, here's your evidence. This is exactly how it's used. This is evidence for the statements and claims that you make in your resume. Okay, so the other thing is that occasionally what people will do is they will split out functions. So, in other words, what they'll have is an experience section, but they may also have a related experience section that specifically speaks to the job itself. Good example is, sometimes students will have jobs or volunteer experiences that have really just developed general skills. Communication, working with diverse populations, working under pressure, ability to handle multiple tasks, although that happens to students all the time. And they will pull those out and then have a related experience section. We'll go back to Benny, who's the social work major. Benny will put his activities that are related to social work in a separate section of the resume, which you don't necessarily have to do. By the way, if there's any questions, stop me.
Yes,
please.
I have a couple, yes, I have a question.
Okay. I'm gonna get back to you. Yes.
Okay, for the Bishop and the Christian, do you need to find out the deals that you do that?
You know, that can be a real problem, and especially for students with disabilities, because sometimes the time it takes to be a student with a disability is incredible. And especially a student with a severe learning disability or a blind student, and those students that are deaf oftentimes have, because there's communication issues that extend their learning process. So I probably wouldn't put it in there unless
functional resume.
Yeah, unless you crank through in a shorter period of time. And Andy's absolutely right. There are different kinds of resumes that you can use, but I will make a suggestion that's most appropriate for that. there was another question behind me.
I had a question. With education, where do you, for example, I got a lot of awards and things in high school. Where do you start?
Good question. Some of you may not be old enough for this, but I know there are people in the room. There was a song in the early 90s by Janet Jackson. What have you done for me lately?
Oh, that's all.
I used that as an example in a room a while back. And the students stared at me like, what are you talking about? Yeah, so it reminded me that sometimes I have to be a little more careful about what examples I select. But that's really what you have to focus on is you're a junior, so you're done being a high school student.
Yes.
Okay? Although, if you talk, let's say you say, you've had a long history of leadership during your interview, and that's where you go back to your original sheet that you wrote everything out on. During your interview, you can demonstrate, since high school, I've been doing leadership roles.
Yeah.
Right. So it's good for that, but not necessarily good for, remember I said this is a whole process, it's good for the interview part, but not necessarily for the resume. Make sense?
Yeah.
pictures section. You can have an activity section. Or any kind of...
Skill section.
The skill section, I actually like the skills to be below the education if they're generally related to the position you're applying for. Okay? And one of the things that's a universal for me is the ability to speak another language. And if that's the case, I always encourage people to put their skills into their pocket. Because you want that in people's faces. It is almost a given that you should know at least two of the Microsoft Office products. Okay? And at a minimum, students should know Word and PowerPoint. Yeah, and it's something that you may want to work on. Who gave you those certifications?
Microsoft.
Okay, yeah, perfectly. Absolutely. And that's something you might want to put, you can put that under skills, you can put it under additional training. One of the things people buy into is this thought that every time your resume, the titles of your sections must be a certain thing. Not necessarily. You can come up with your own idea about a title for a resume. Because everything kind of below the experience section isn't necessary if for whatever reason you're trying to get a one-page resume. Everything below that, to me anyway, and to how I see employers looking at this, is some of them don't even really care.
Robert.
Yes.
Okay, for the Microsoft, if you know that the difference of Microsoft Office that you took from the school, like scholars according to the people on the skill?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I just think what we're looking at here, that was is your ability to do it. If you can do it, then yeah, I don't care if you got it from your grandmother. If you can sit down on the job and do what you're claiming to be able to do, go for it. Yeah.
Robert?
Yep.
I have a notebook, and I keep in my notebook a covered, like, sleeve with all my certificates. And then if I go in if I go into the interview, I take them with me with the resume, and I let them peruse it. Is that wrong? Like,
no, that's perfect. That's perfect. Although, what you can either do is offer it, or you can wait for them to ask for it.
Well, yeah, I kind of do that, but I kind of have it, and I have, like, also the college transcript. I have everything there that you would want.
Yeah.
And then I have also the letters from, you know,
your
people,
recommendation
yes. letters.
Robert.
Yeah, I think that's excellent.
Robert,
yes.
I just had one very quick thing. Yep. Don't lie on your resume.
Yeah, don't. We'll get there.
Yeah, no.
We'll get there. That is part of my content. And Andy's absolutely right. With this process, notice that one of the things I've been saying is, can you prove it? Can you prove it?
Yeah.
Okay? So if you write something down on that list, your master list, right, you better be able to prove it.
We'll back it up, right?
Yeah. It's very much like being in the academic setting, right? We're not supposed to make claims without some journal article or evidence.
Cited sources.
Yeah, so it's important to kind of understand that that is part of this process also. Thank you, Andy. That was really good. So once we've gotten that done, what I'm going to do now is kind of shift mode. So that's all your prep stuff. Now we're going to write the resume. And I'm going to run through this pretty quickly. But if you have questions, please. And what I'm going to try to do is blend. What I'll do is blend two things. I will blend the resume and interviewing process together. Okay. So I think I can do this. I've done it before, so I think I can do it easily. So your resume is akin to junk mail. Okay. It's like junk mail for the HR office. And particularly like very large companies like Boeing, Northrop Grumman, large banks, they get so much application, or they get so many applications, that most of them now actually are using electronic systems to weed through this thing. And people often will not be qualified for the positions, but they'll just throw something out there hoping it sticks. So that being the case, you get a large volume, and you have to figure out a way to make your junk mail better than everybody else's junk mail. Okay? And so imagine what you get in your email when you, you know, and I don't think there's a person in this room that uses email that doesn't get spam. Okay. And if you don't get spam, I want to talk to you because I want to find out how the heck you did that. Okay? And so you've got to kind of imagine it. It may have the same characteristics as spam is to you. So think about that when you're writing. You want to make sure that you're not annoying the employer, or as best as you can. Now, there are several types of resumes. The most popular, and employers have been, you know, there's been research on this. The most popular, according to employers, 66% of them, prefer chronological resumes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Bottom line.
Put them in an order.
Right.
Chronologically.
Now, for those of you that have been in education a long time or maybe older and have different kinds of experiences, you may choose to do another type of resume called a combination or functional resume. And for the purposes of students, what I'm going to do is stick with chronological. It does tend to be the most popular for students, so that's the direction I'm going. But you'll have my contact information at the end, and if you want to do a functional, let's talk about it. I'll be more than happy to help you as part of my job. That's not a problem. So, your resume starts with contact information. Now, the contact information, very simple. Just put your address, your name, phone number, email address down on the sheet. You can, if you choose to do so from a visual perspective, use a larger font for your name. Do not use any font that is cutesy in any way. And if you're not certain, ask a friend. Okay? If you're not certain, ask a friend. I have one admonishment. Generally, the font size is between 10 and 14 points. I would recommend against Times New Roman at 10 points. Yes.
Well, I put Optimal at 12. I don't know if that's right. Most essay paper, they went at 12. But I don't know.
Yeah, it just depends on how much room you need on your resume. I mean, if you need to fill a lot of space, or a little bit of space, you want to go with a smaller font. And so you have to think about what you want your resume to look like. There's a ton of tricks that you can do to create a resume that's one page and has relatively little information on it. And that's one of the tricks that we will teach sometimes. And so I'm kind of talking partly about that. That's where you use a larger font for your name, and you use a larger font for all your section headings. And you may even double space after your section headings to buy you more real estate on that piece of paper. So those are some little tricks you can do. So back to the contact information. There's two things you need to be very careful about. One is your phone message.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay? Oh, yeah. Hi, this is Big Daddy. I'm not available right now. Probably a really poor thing to be using. Keep your your phone message very simple. Stay away from music. Really, stay away from music. I have an example of a student. About 5 years ago, we had a student who, one of our counselors actually, had the student, showed an employer the student's resume. The employer was actually saying, you know what, I would hire him just based on this. Called the guy's phone,
and
he had some music on there, and the employer came back to the counselor and said, I refuse. He said, you know what, it kind of took his breath away, actually, because he was excited. He was actually, this is the person he was looking for on paper. The student looked perfect. And the counselor told me, she said he had everything she wanted. It was full evidence. never know. You may never know.
I don't look. I prefer not to give my cell phone or something in contact just because he has minutes. And I don't live alone. And all of our voices are on the phone. Is that okay?
As long as it's a simple message.
It's a simple message.
Yeah. 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 I mean, if it's, Teresa and Tammy are not home today, please leave a message for either one. We'll get back to you as quickly as we can. Okay. So that's a way to do that. No, that actually is a good question because sometimes people get concerned about, but you do want to make sure they can contact you.
Is it probably not a good idea to put your pet,
any
voicemail?
Yeah.
No, nothing yet. Just stay away from cutesiness altogether. It can cost you. And then the next is your email address, misshotpants@yahoo.com. Really inappropriate. Okay? Unless she's applying for a different kind of job. Yeah, exactly. So you want to be very careful about what you use. And my recommendation is, if you don't have an account that has some derivative of your name, get one. Okay? Because even something as innocent as MathGuy, at MSN.com, can actually be viewed by an employer as somebody who's kind of immature. So, like, my email address at work has just changed, but it was rwint@csuob.edu. And so that would be good. Or I could have put Robert W. Or I could, in the case of what I have now, it's robert.wint@csuob.edu. Yeah, and that may be it. We've just changed the system like 4 weeks ago. So be careful with that. Those are very important things. Now, your next section. The next section is your objective section. And this ties to how you're going to write your resume. Because your objective is not to save the world and not to gain tons of experience. Your objective is to get the position that's being offered. And so that's what your objective should. And just stay away from any of that, where I can use my skills and abilities to save the world. You want to stay away from that because you want your resume to be readable where a person who's going through a stack of 100 resumes can get down to some substance in about 20 seconds. So getting down to some substance in 20 seconds. And just to kind of prove a point here, I'm going to have to count this out in my head. I'm going to be quiet for 20 seconds, starting now. Imagine reading for that, period. So you can actually get a lot in your resume read if you limit to being, or if you're more specific with what you're putting out there. So the objective should be that way. For those of you that aren't certain what your objective is, and in that case it would be applying, putting your resume out on their resume service or possibly going to a job fair. And if the job fair is in a focused one, you may want to put a position in the electrical engineering field. Okay, and just something broad like that. I would stay away from those super generalized statements. Now, the other thing that an objective is used for is it's a clerical tool. The employers oftentimes will have and I've seen it done. I worked in HR for a while. The employers will actually give a stack of resumes to their one of their lowest level people in the office. Okay? They will give it to administrative task, to an administrative individual, and they will say, sort these resumes for me. Now, though, and the position, let's say the position is an electrical engineering position. And so you put on your resume, entry-level position as an electrical engineer. They go through the stack, and she's creating or he's creating the electrical engineering stack. And all of a sudden, they come across a position where I can use my skills and abilities to save the world. That goes into the I'm going to have to read this later stack. Okay, so it'll still get processed, but all the while, Mr. I want to be an electrical engineer is moving directly to the hiring manager. Well, your resume is in a stack over here waiting. Public, you know, most public employers or private employers, pardon me, most private employers don't have. They're not as tied to the things that public employees are. So they can put a job out there, and they can hire the first person that walks through the door and said, we're done.
I have a friend who works with Sherwin Williams, and she told me a good story. They were looking for somebody to work in their executive position, and she works in the paint, pardon the advertising. And they're going through for the weekend, and the boss says, I want by Monday somebody to replace somebody in their executive position. Well, they found somebody, but he sent the resume in folded in an envelope. And his pet peeve was everything had to be straight in a manila envelope. And so they found the guy, but they had to put it underneath a heavy dictionary to straighten it out because they sorted it and found it, but they really wanted this guy. And so they had to straighten out the resume so he would look at least look at it because he wouldn't even look at a piece of paper unless it was straight.
Yeah, and that actually is a good point. Just for those of you that will use snail mail, sometimes you still do.
Yeah.
Send a resume, send it in a 9x12 or you know a large enough envelope that
yeah.
you can get your 8.5 by 11 sheet in there, and it will remain flat. In general, it will remain flat. If you only have one page in there, you might want to stick a little piece of cardboard or something.
Yeah.
To give it some rigidity so it doesn't get wrinkled too much as it's being handled.
But a lot of times, like my friend said, she goes, if you send it like that, they think it's important. And they look at that more so. They think, oh, it's something we got to look at.
Yeah, and that's an important characteristic. So the objective is very important then. Obviously, it gets you to where you want to go. Gets you in the hands of the individual that's actually doing the hiring. Next section is the education section. The education section can be a tricky section because you can put a lot of stuff here. You can put credentials, you can put your degree or degrees. You don't necessarily have to put the dates on the degrees. It took me 20 years to get a bachelor's degree. So, you know, when, if I were to put, you know, start and end dates, it might not look good. So I decided to just be taped out altogether. So there are reasons to leave dates out. Now, if you do use dates, by the way, stay with this consistent format throughout your resume. I don't want to mix them. I don't want you to have, you know, month, day, year, and month, year on the same resume. You really need to be consistent in what you put out. So anyway, you're going to put your degree down. What I advise students to do is go into your college's website or go into the catalog and find the exact title for the degree, and that's what you put down. Then there'll be no confusion when the employer looks at your resume. Because there can be nothing more annoying for an employer for someone to, you know, misidentify their resume and you get in for the interview and you're not qualified. And believe me, if you appear to be qualified, you're screened in, and you're sitting before that hiring manager, and he or she does not think you are qualified, it can for a job as a rehab counselor. I met all the qualifications at the time. I didn't have a master's degree yet. In fact, I didn't even have a bachelor's degree. But I had tons, and I mean tons of experience working with employment and persons with disabilities. So, and it met their current definition, which wasn't even a bachelor's degree. It was a bachelor's degree or its equivalent. So I applied for the job, and I was qualified. When I got called by a hiring manager, he said, "You're not qualified for the job. I'm not going to interview you today." You got it, exactly. And so what I did is I said, "Well, you know, Helen in Sacramento said it was fine." And so he goes and calls Helen. And Helen said, "It's fine." Needless to say, I didn't get the job. You know, and he came back mad because he was the kind of guy that doesn't, you know, that is very simple. I'm the boss and I'm always right. And so, you know, that's not a great way to start an interview, so be careful about what you're going into there. Also, you want to make sure you tell them what your graduation date is, or your estimated graduation date. I do not like the words expected and anticipated. Okay, especially anticipated. What I've chosen to use is projected. I think projected is a nice way to do it. Or just write graduation spring 2014. You don't even need to say, you know, you don't need to qualify it. So I do advise that you do that. Then, GPA. GPA is... I got a big mouth. Thank you.
Oh, it's for the recording.
Okay, do you think it's picking it up?
It will be very, very minute if it does.
Well, good. Now I... Well, you don't want half a recording, do you?
I had an engineering professor tell one of my students that, and his grade point average is 3.79. And the professor said, "So what? I can go find you a 4.0. So I told him to take it off his resume. So you're going to have to make a decision as to whether it's high enough and something you want to, you know, display to the employers. I will tell you, though, there are some industries where GPA is important. The healthcare industry, accounting, and engineering are all areas where GPA is pretty darn important. I have never been asked for my GPA, and I have had 30 jobs in my lifetime. And I've never been asked for it. Notice I can't keep a job. That's how come I know all this stuff. Actually, it was a result of me working three part-time jobs at a time and that kind of thing. So the other things that can go in your education section are other credentials, certifications. Let me think what else you could put in there. Some people actually may put their current coursework in there or relevant coursework. Or you can have a separate section, relevant coursework. You also can put relevant academic projects. Relevant academic projects. And so those two things are not only a way to convey what you have, especially if you don't have employment, and a lot of students with disabilities don't, you can put things like your relevant academic projects. And you've all had classes where the whole semester was leading to a final big project. And so if you can articulate that, the employers are going to be very happy because they're going to see you learn thing X and how you learned it. So there's two ways to do it. Leave it all under your education section or create separate sections. Relevant coursework. Now, as for relevant coursework, be very careful because these are things that they may ask you about. My recommendation is if you are at a credentialed university, if you're an accounting major, you don't need to put introductory accounting as one of your relevant courses. Why? Because the accountant has had that class. So you either want to do your most high-end courses or any special coursework you may have done out of the academic pattern that you're pursuing. So, for instance, in my bachelor's degree in psychology, I did a course in the sociology department on sociology of race and diversity. It actually was. It was a really good course. I learned a lot and had four textbooks. That was kind of a killer, but it was a great class. And so I will put that on my resume because it shows a diversity in coursework and it shows some additional knowledge that can certainly be related to the psychology field. Any questions so far? Are we okay? Yeah, we'll get there. Good point, though. If you have an academic internship, in other words, it is part of your academic training, it's a requirement that you take, you know, Science 495, you can put it in that education section. Or you can put it in an experience section. Or you can put it in a section called relevant internships. So it's really up to you how you want to do it and what you feel is most efficient. So you notice one of the things about resumes is there's a whole lot of choices to be made. And oftentimes there is there's no magic bullet. There's no perfect. In fact, I've never seen a perfect resume. As part of my job, I have to sit and read resumes. And I read lots of them. And I have never seen a resume that I didn't correct something. And I've been doing what I do for 14 years. So we move to the experience section. This is your bread and butter. And this is where you want to put things that are evidence of your competency. Now you can put internships in here. You can put volunteer opportunities in here. And you can put employment in here. Each area of experience contains 5 pieces of information. You want the name of the company, agency, wherever you worked. You want the dates you worked there. You want the location. And all you need here is a city, state, or city, country. You want the title of the position. Even if it's intern, that's fine. Or in some cases, you may be able to use the equivalent job title to what you were doing. Just ask your employer. And then finally, your duty statements. Now, everybody gets confused by these things. And so far, a couple of general rules are you want to be careful about English, your general English skills here. And your whole resume should do this. However, this is one section where you can break English rules a little bit. So each of your statements should contain, and I'm going to give you a formula that I created. I'm just so creative. I can't stand myself sometimes. But the formula is this. Did X using Y resulting in Z? So, prepared correspondence using Microsoft Word resulting in 20% time savings. So that's a perfect example of the kind of thing you can do. Now, every statement doesn't need to match that. You can use this to get this result, or you can do this to use that, or you can use that to do this. So you can move those things around. You don't need all 3 characteristics every time. You can do 2. The other trick to this is that X, Y, and Z become keywords. And that's the other important thing you have to realize is that, mentioned earlier, those electronic systems that screen resumes, those electronic systems have no soul. So they are either yes or no, basically. So if you type in, I'm looking for a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering, that's all that's going to come back. And if you have a bachelor's degree in electrical technology, or you have a bachelor's degree in engineering and you don't define yourself as having a focus on electrical engineering, your resume may not come up. So you have to be very careful about what you put in your resume. One of the encouragements is, this is one of the places in your skills section where you can begin to use the key words that were in the job announcement. If they say you must be able to prepare correspondence, one of your duties someplace, or one of your skills, or one of your activities under your volunteer or community organization. Any questions about this? Because this is the most important part of your resume. Okay. And don't discount any employment. Every single type of employment counts. You know, sometimes you'll have students, they see student resumes all the time that have people who didn't work, who have people who have worked at McDonald's for 5 years. Let's think about that real quick. McDonald's for 5 years. And I'm going to ask the room. McDonald's for 5 years. What skills do you have? Customer service. What else? Help me out here, guys. Working under pressure. That's a really good one. Absolutely. Diversity. Really a good one. What was that? Cash handling. Very possibly. Yes. Inventory.
Also organization.
Ah, communication. Excellent. Now, we just sat here with a seemingly innocent job that people may kind of look down on, and we came up with a whole list of things that a person might have gained as working at McDonald's. So don't discount anything you've done. If you've gotten it by volunteering, that's fine. If you've gotten it, if you've got leadership skills from being the secretary and an affiliate in CCB, fine. There's nothing wrong with that if you can demonstrate it. So don't discount anything. I personally prefer bullets, and I think employers do too. Remember that 20 seconds, guys. You want to get down into this section in 20 seconds if you can. Because your education alone may not be enough of an indication. Now, here's where you have to make a personal decision. Between the experience and the education section, you can put your skills section there. And generally, that's what I recommend. However, if your experience is more related to the job, then I would put that first. And then your skills can below that. So let's talk about the skills section. Here, now, so we just talked about the experience section. That's all of your information now. Do you remember that? Remember that original document? That's also where you get that information for all of the stuff that's in your resume. Go back to that original document, look at it, and say, wow, I have 20 things here. Here are the three that are most relevant to the position I'm applying for. And pull them out of your master list. This master resume will never be used, but it may end up being a curriculum vitae or a CV. And it could be 15, 20 pages long by the time it's all said and done. Mine is about 10 pages long right now. And actually, I don't have it anymore because the file got corrupted in 1995 and I totally lost it. It's really irritating. But I can't actually remember all the dates from the jobs and where I was at. So that's what this is all about. That's why that list is there. You're not busting your brain here. Go back to your list. You've already written the information down. Okay, remember all those certificates I told you to write about? Which ones are relevant to the job? That goes in your education section. So it's a pretty simple process. How am I doing on time? So the skills section, a couple general rules for your skills section. If you are proficient in a foreign language or a different language, it is advisable to be specific about what your proficiency level is. So you may be conversationally proficient in Spanish, but you are fluent in Mandarin. So that's a distinction you want to make for employers. And we've had employers come and talk about this, about, you know, getting a person who was conversationally proficient, and they actually wanted somebody that was fluent. Read, write, speak. So it's really good to be as specific about this as possible. And the reason I say that is you just don't want to waste the employer's time. It really can be. And then they're just mad at you, you know. And if this employer has a job in 3 years and you apply and they remember you, your resume is not going to get screened through. So don't leave them with a bad impression. Also, you can, if you choose to do so, let's say you have your Microsoft Office skills section, and let's say you consider yourself an advanced Word user, an intermediate Excel user, and a familiar with PowerPoint. You can certainly make those distinctions, and I encourage you to do so. Although, some people say, oh, I'll learn it. I defy any of you to become proficient at the advanced level in a month of work. And here's why. When you say you are an expert user, the employer does not care about day-to-day operations. What the employer does care about is if something breaks, are you a good enough user to figure that out. And that's where proficiency level is very important. So keep that in mind. If you're putting down there that you are an excellent this or that user, that's why I recommend giving them some level of proficiency. Also, you know, employers hire people all the time and they let them go quickly because they have done that kind of thing. So I encourage people to be careful with that. Any questions about the skills section? Because I'm almost to the bottom of the resume now. If you're applying for a job at the DSS office, sure. If you're applying for a job at JCPenney, probably not. It's just going to create more questions in the interview, I mean, than not. And it may give away information that you may not want to disclose. And this is personal choice. Do I disclose my disability? You've got to make that choice for yourself because you've got to live with the consequences. I do not disclose my disability. But I ask if I can have a moment before we start the interview, and I explain it quickly. And it only takes me about 30 seconds to do that. I don't take a ton of time. But I explain it quickly, and then I explain it as it relates to the job itself, and then I leave it open for questions at any time through the interview. That's what I do because I don't have an invisible disability. Yeah, and that's a good thing to share, exactly, because oft times, in fact, I actually had a community college do that to me, and I was very, very angry. It was really unfair. And I had actually talked to somebody and said, I need a fluorescent light in the workspace if you're going to give me anything to do. Yep.
The one situation where you want to consider disclosing is if you're applying
That's why I use DSS as an example. Right. And you've got to look at that. You know, what are you applying for? If I'm applying for a job at Lighthouse for the Blind, JAWS is going on my resume. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to have it in an academic project section, and I'm going to have it in a skills section. Why? Remember those electronic systems? They're fallible. They're not 100%. And so if you have a smudge on the word JAWS and you don't know what's on there, or if there's some electronic hiccup, your resume will not be pulled up by a keyword search, because the one time JAWS occurred on your resume is not accessible to the electronic system. So be very careful about those kinds of things. When it's an absolute requirement, you want to try to find a way to get it on your resume twice, either through skills, through volunteer experience, through your education section, or even in your experience section. But Andy's absolutely right. You know, it's, again, go to your master list, what's relevant to the job. You don't want to get too carried away in this section with, you know, skills that you cannot articulate. You know, oftentimes people go, oh, employers really want this, so I'm going to put it down. Then you got to prove it. So a good example is communication skills. Some people think I'm a great communicator because they have a big mouth. And in essence, they may not be. They may not be able to communicate in environments where there's a lot of stress. They may not be able to communicate cross-culturally. So you have to be really careful about the claims you make on your resume, because at some point you are going to be called upon to prove what your claims are. You know, great attention to detail and you have an error on your resume is not a good idea. So you want to be careful about that kind of stuff. Yeah, it is really weird, you know, when that happens. But you know, stuff like that happens. You just don't want to be part of the ugly stories that are told in resume clinics later on. So the other thing is, the remainder of your resume can be these creative little sections like honors and awards or community activities or volunteer activities I don't know, what else could we? Anybody got any other suggestions for sections? Andy, you have any ideas that we might put in here? Oh, in your case, it might be something like military experiences or something that someone might want to share under that way. So these other sections are just, they're partially filler to the employer, because sometimes they care if you were the, you know, chairperson of the, you know, executive student council. They may not care, because all the experience in education matches their needs. And it's just a bonus. Now, where it matters is competitive jobs. Those little things can make a difference, because everybody that applies is going to be a 4.0, and everybody that applies is going to be a, you know, have a master's degree in thing X. And that's where you want to distinguish yourself. And that's the important thing about that master list. You're not talking only about your minimum qualifications, but you're talking about what differentiates you from the other candidates. And this is all information that you're going to use in your interview, too. One of the questions that goes along with that is, why should we hire you? What makes you the best candidate? And you don't want to reiterate the minimum qualifications when you talk about that. You can say, in addition to the required bachelor's degree in psychology, I have 3 years working in a homeless shelter. You've just made yourself distinct from the candidates that merely have the bachelor's degree in psychology. So these sections, I find they can be useful, but you want to be careful with them too. And here's a couple of examples. If you are involved, what are those things we're not supposed to talk about in mixed company? Religion and politics, particularly, exactly. Unless your religion is really important to you and you want everybody to know it, and that's where you want to work, you want to be careful about politics and religion on your resume. and make certain that you use a generic term to describe what you did. Let's say you are the president of your youth Baptist church group. What I would do is probably remove Baptist church and just put church in there and then talk about the duties. Doesn't mean they're not going to ask you about it, but at least you're not calling yourself a Baptist and there's a ton of people on the hiring committee that aren't Baptists. In fact, they don't like Baptists. So you want to be careful about that because that can be a bump in the road. However, what I said earlier, and this applies to politics too. I mean, you worked on a political campaign. You probably want to stay away from designating yourself as a Democrat or a Republican unless you're applying for, you know, a job that's kind of in series. Like, you know, you worked for a Democrat and now you want to work for another Democrat. So you want to be careful about that. You want to maybe be more generic with your terminology so that you get credit for the experience, but you're not disclosing information that you may not want to disclose. And again, this is personal choice. I graduated with it from my master's in marriage and family therapy with a woman whose sole desire was to be a Christian counselor. All of her clinical hours were done in a Christian counseling environment. All 3,000 of them. Yeah, yeah. And for her, in fact, she ended up working for the same agency she did most of her hours in. But that, to me, that's on her resume. Christian counselor. In fact, she even says, you know, entry-level position as a Christian counselor. That's what her resume said. Because it's important to her in her life. So I don't want to discount any of these things that may be important to you. You have to make a decision as to how it might affect choice. Go ahead. I was going to go over the one page and a couple other general rules. Go ahead. Yeah, sadly, you can tell a lot from a resume and a lot that the candidate didn't intend for you to know. So absolutely. And that goes back to the listing JAWS. You know, if I'm applying for a job at the Lighthouse, JAWS is going on my resume. But if I'm applying for a job at IBM, it may not go on my resume. So anyway. That you know about computers. Right. Exactly. You can use generic statements to kind of cover your tracks. Again, though, if you do, remember you get asked about it. Anything that's printed on that resume, you can be asked about. So be very careful. You can also be asked, give me an example, and you'll give them one. And then another little interview trick is to, could you give me another example? So be very careful about your rehearsed answers because you can get nailed with that one. Also, employers, not all over, but some employers are throwing in these weird questions just to check you out. Like, what was the last movie you saw? Who was the main character in the last book you read? And they're just trying to see, you know, how you answer it. You know, and so realize that, you know, all of this stuff, some things in the interview you can never prepare for. It's impossible. Unless you, like, personally know it's your grandmother interviewing you and you sat down before the interview and talked to her about everything she's going to ask you. You know, and the likelihood of that is pretty low. A couple general rules. Andy hit the first one. Never lie on your resume. It'll cost you every time. When I worked for the city of Long Beach as a personnel analyst, we actually terminated someone in the police department because she hadn't identified a cousin who had, you know, some negative legal stuff. And surprisingly, it happened 7 years after she had started. And they were going through auditing things, and somebody found those two pieces of information. And because of her tolerance, no lying, no whatever, and she signed the document, said, hey, they terminated her. And it was taken to court, she lost. And under the rules, she should have lost. She didn't put down something that was asked for in the application process. And then she, I'm telling you the absolute truth here. And it turns out that it was a cousin that, like, lived in the same city and everything. So it was, you know, it's one of these things where, you know, it's pretty hard to say that you didn't know it. So, anyway, and it actually came out in the court that she actually did know the cousin, and she knew it had happened. In fact, she had actually been in court one of the days that he was in court himself. I can't remember how that came out, but so anyway, excuse me. Be very, never put those on your resume. Well, here's the deal. There are a couple, you know, statements that I think take up room on the bottom of your resume, and that's one of them. You know, references will be provided upon request. Employers don't give a darn about that statement. Because you know what? If you want the job, you're going to give them to them if you want the job. Bottom line, I mean, it really is, it's unnecessary. Now, the only time you might use it, let's say you have a pretty skimpy background, you can use it to fill space at the bottom. But as far as it being information to the employer, it's probably pretty useless. Now, in a situation like art or some creative endeavor, or whether you've done a lot of projects that are related, you could put portfolio available upon request. Doesn't happen a lot, but in our arts we see it. Our art students often will will do that. And some of them will actually bring, you know, DVDs or CDs to their interview with their media and pictures and that kind of thing. The other general rule goes back to English. In general, follow your English rules, except for one place where you don't have to, is in those statements. And here's why. If you're reading these darn things and people are using independent clauses as opposed to full sentences, or they're using just partial clauses, you don't have punctuation for these things. And so what you get is a mix of one statement has punctuation, the next doesn't. So from an aesthetic standpoint, it can be pretty ugly. Now, if you commit to sentences and every single statement is a sentence, fine and dandy, you can have periods. But what I find happens is most people, when they try to do that, they end up with phrases that are not sentences and therefore don't require a period. And you certainly don't want to show you don't have knowledge by putting a period after something that isn't a sentence. So that's something you need to be real careful about, too. I've noticed that a lot of people that are in the HR field are actually extremely talented at looking at detail. I used to write a newsletter for an Employment Managers Association, like 12 to 14 pages a month. And actually, I hated it. I don't like writing at all. And it's got to put food on the table. Anyway, when I did this job, I remember that about 3 months after I started, I was using Times New Roman 10-point as my font. And I got 3 complaints in 1 month from these above 40 managers who were having trouble reading Times New Roman 10-point. So you kind of like never know what's going to happen. But anyway, these people were notorious. When I put things out, they would read it. They would find errors and stuff, and stuff that I just didn't even think about. In fact, it really taught me to read much more critically and to really look for things. It's probably why I'm pretty good at reading resumes. With low vision, I'm able to do that, and I'm very fortunate that I can. It scares the heck out of students because I hold this paper so close to my face. And so I look at it as a challenge. I try to find a mistake right away because I know when they're seeing me look at it, they're like freaking out. They just don't know what this guy's doing. And so I try to find a mistake quickly so that they go, oh, okay, he knows what he's doing. And actually when I observe people out of the corner of my eye, I'll watch them. And you can see their shoulders, you know, relax. It's amazing how much the body language changes after I find that first mistake. So have someone that's trusted read your resume. And what I did, I used to have a friend, unfortunately he passed, but this friend of mine and I, for about 40 years, have been extremely competitive. I mean, insanely competitive. I always have him look at my resume because he just loves finding mistakes. And I'm perfectly happy with that because I end up with a perfect resume usually by having him look at it. Because he can say, oh, you missed this, man. You know, I'll never forget it if he does. But it also puts me on my P's and Q's, too. It makes me do better. One of the things you can do, and this is it sounds crazy as I'll get out, but go through your resume backwards, word by word. And that kind of is to check the words, to check the spelling. You know, sometimes you'll get those spelling errors that really don't exist, or you get the green lines in Word that aren't really telling you anything. There's some crazy, wacky rule that, you know, really doesn't apply. So you want to be careful about having somebody look at it. And what I advise is just go to your career center, or if you know a career counselor or person that can do it, do it. So remember that, you know, you're starting with your list. You must know your list, and you must be able to articulate your list both verbally for your interview and in writing. And then what you write, you must be able to articulate, because you can be asked about every single thing on your resume, including, hey, we noticed that your area code, in fact, I don't even know what this is. What is 578? You know, I don't know what it is. I made the number up. But sometimes people ask weird questions like that. So, any questions? Yeah, thank you, Linda. That's actually, with electronic resumes, I don't care about page length because in general, you know, the electronic system is pretty, not that terribly sensitive to 1, 2, 3. It doesn't really care. But you do want to keep your resume short enough that it doesn't bore a human being if they print it out. So, you know, standard rule is 1 page for every 10 to 15 years experience you have. Okay. So for some of us that are more seasoned, we can go to a second page to share our seasoning. That's just a general rule of thumb, and I think it works pretty well if you kind of use that as your guideline. So, okay, Artis, you had a question? It's really important to send a cover letter. Unless they say no cover letter, send one. Bottom line, send a cover letter. Now, I want you to hear this because this is the bad part of sending a cover letter. About 50% of the time, they just get thrown away anyway. But because you don't know, send it anyway. Also, go ahead, Lisa. You had a question. One page. And you want to keep it pretty darn short. People don't have time to read them, really. But occasionally, if you're in a competitive job, I remember one time I was on the board of an independent living center, and we were trying to hire a fundraiser, and we actually eliminated a candidate because his second paragraph had 8 sentences in it, and 6 of them began with the letter I. And we're like, okay, you're out. Yes. Cover letter. You know, one of the things I do is extra things or more narrative description of your experiences. It's also a way for you to kind of show them what your writing style is. Communication is either number 1 or 2 in the things that employers look for first. And what I found is over the last couple of years, the National Association of Colleges and Employers has flip-flop back and forth. Number 1 thing has been either leadership or communications. Yeah, particularly if your resume doesn't do the entire job. Yeah. Yeah.
Also, I guess what Please I add. Always did with cover letters was, especially if you're going to be using the same resume to apply to a lot of different employers, you might want to use the cover letter as a way of personalizing it to that the specific employer that you're applying to.
Yeah, I mean, in all honesty, not everyone can do an individualized resume every time. And so Andy's right. This is one way for you to personalize. Although, theoretically, every resume should be unique and different. Even if both, if you're applying for a job at Cal State Long Beach and you're applying for a job at Cal State Fullerton for a career counselor position, you, in fact, as a matter of fact, your resume better not look the same or you won't get hired at one of those institutions because, in fact, their career services offices are different in the way they're run. Philosophically, they're different. And the jobs that the counselors do are completely different. Okay, anything else? I have really enjoyed this. This is what I do. I love it. So thank you very much.
Doing that, and I realized after about 2 or 3 months, just because there were times. In fact, the highest one I had, 16 exchanges to complete a resume, and because the student just wasn't understanding the narrative explanations I was giving, and they kept saying, "Well," and it was a deaf student, so the phone was just so inconvenient. There really was not an easy way to do it, except unless they came into my office. And this person lived, they were doing distance education at the time, and they didn't live close to campus. And so ultimately, I had to do it, but those students, you can never know. So it's a good idea to work on your resume with some zest prior to having somebody look at it.
Final question.
This is actually really important for your resume. Let me go ahead and explain this real quick. Templates can be good and bad. And any item on your resume that can be a double-edged sword, you want to be very careful about. How templates are bad is the employer may say, wow, this person's too lazy to create their own document. But the reverse of that is, I'm going to save you here, Tom. The reverse of that is, wow, this person knows the technology really well, and they're using a tool that already makes things easier. So you have to be very careful about how you use those things. They don't necessarily bother me, but nine times out of ten, students use them to be lazy. And so what I encourage them to do is look at them, but don't use them, and here's the reason why. Editing those templates is near impossible.
Oh, yeah.
Because of all the code that comes along from Microsoft that you can't change. And I will guarantee you make a major error on your resume, and it can take up to 2 or 3 hours just to move one word.
That's true.
And I've seen it happen. I've been involved in it.
Me too.
So that's another reason for not using it. But look at the format and copy it.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about these resume builders, like a Monster career builder?
Sometimes they're okay. I'm not a big fan of them because they usually are missing something. And because who's usually designed them is a little input from a career person, and some computer guy has designed them. So it is there's not enough variability in terms of what you can do. You know, in other words, some sections only have 512 characters you can write, and you're really locked into what they're giving you. So sometimes you don't want to use them if you can. But, you know, if it's the only resource you have, use it. It's better than nothing.
Okay. What do you need?
I need to get your address, your email address, phone number, site status.
So don't pay me dues. I'll be here all weekend.
No,
okay.
Okay.
Okay. My address.
Okay.
You ready? You got
yes.
my name?
Robert Witt, W-E-N-D-T,
yes,
right?
Yep. Okay. And the address is 360 Temple Avenue.
Otter? Yeah.
Number
17. I'm going to go Yeah, I'll be here all weekend.
Okay.
I got to get down to the exhibit table.
Okay.
Go
that way,
Tony. Yeah. Oh, come on, you can't get that way. Don't worry about it.
Long Beach? Is that right?
Yeah.
Good question.
Long Beach.
What's your name?
908-814.
Do you have a phone number that you'd like to
yes.
reach at?
I'm going to give you my phone number.
Oh, you're at the board table?
4-3-8-7-1-0-0.
I'll give it to you at the social.
Do you have an alt phone that you like to use or not?
I can give you my work phone.
If you want to.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Particularly if students want to call me, I don't mind being a resource.
Well, I know.
Okay.
I know, but I'm hoping. That was it. I'm hoping they fixed it, though.
Is it 562?
Yes, 562.
If not, I'm going to be one of the first people taking advantage of the paper that came in.
4643.
And what's your email address?
My email address is robert.wendt.
W-E-N-D-T.
At C-S-U-L-B.
E-D-U.
Yeah.
Great. And what
vision
site status? Are you legally blind?
Yeah.
And what format would you like for your stuff? Large print.
You can just send it to me electronically.
Email.
Well, it's do you get the blind Californian in large print?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
but
so
I also
then
get it electronically. But I sometimes look at the print version. It just depends on how.
Okay, because that's for how you receive the blind Californian in the Braille form.
Okay, well, I'm cool. I'm already large print, so leave it at large print.
So put it at large print, Lisa.
Okay,
yeah.
No email. Okay.
Yeah, because we don't want to have anybody accidentally change.
Exactly.
Oh, I need to give you my address.
Okay, guys, thank you very much for the opportunity.
Yeah.
I hope it was useful.
Yeah.
Thank
was.
You so much. It was very
Can I
yeah.
email you about interviews? That's where I really struggle.
Yeah.
My resume, I guess, is okay. I've had 5 interviews within the last 2 months, but I haven't gotten any of the jobs.
Okay. Well, maybe you can call. I had that same experience when I graduated, by the way. It was
I'm having that
so hard doing the internship piece.
Yeah.
And finding enough. That's why I ended up as a career counselor, because I could not find enough work anywhere else.
Yeah.
You know, I had to make the shift.
This field, there's until you're licensed, there's not a lot of jobs.
That is
exactly
for any of it, because I thought we were going
to
be nice.
But yeah, I'll be more than happy to talk to you.
Yeah.
I will tell you right now that many people have fears about us being in the chart. They have fears about us being around patients, particularly potentially dangerous patients.
Oh, yeah.
I worked in a locked facility for a while.
Oh, wow.
So I was around.
Yeah,
it was really fun. Yeah.
But since it's not, I guess
you know,
I am.
Let
her know what
happened.
Is she here?
They have a lot of fears. And I get
the
nervous, too, with interviews. It's not just them. It's me, too. I get nervous.
Well, you know, just talking and what we'll do is, because I can always talk to you after 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then another person you might want to talk to is Christy Crespin.
She's a rehab counselor, right? No, that's Ed.
She was my rehab counselor. She's an LCSW.
Oh,
she's
a social worker.
She works at PAT.
Oh, cool.
So that's really a good example of what I was just explaining.
Is that a licensed clinical social worker?
Yeah.
That's the exam
hey.
I'm sitting for on Tuesday, the second
nice.
One.
Oh, you're going to be licensed. That's great.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Hi, Robert.
Lena, did
Bye.
You say that I needed your address?
Yes.
You've got a new address?
Yeah.
Okay, let me write it down since I've got you right here. What's your address?
13711.
13711.
Weddington. It's like, you know, wedding and then 10.
Okay.
Street.
Okay.
Any apartment number? No. Sherman Oaks.
Sherman Oaks. California. And what is it?
91401.
91401. Okay, great. Got that written down. Thank goodness for the Braille.
And everything else is the same.
Oh, cool. I think I have a phone number for you, though. That's not, your cell phone is good.
Yes. What number do you have?
Let me see. It's in the old roster.
Oh, I didn't even look. Because I just figured, oh, everyone's got my cell phone. We're good.
Oh, do you not want your other line listed?
I don't have another line.
Okay, so you're just cell phone. Okay, then I'll take the other one off the records.
Yeah.
It was an old, let's see.
Oh, I didn't know.
Let's see. It's not the 818 number. It's the 6.
No, take that off.
Okay, I'll take that off.
Yeah, the 626 number is old because I moved. I don't have a landline, so and it's hard to reach on that number anyway.
I've noticed a lot of people don't have. We have a landline, but a lot of people don't have landlines now.
Well, I used to, but because when I moved, there's like 7 of us in the house, and we all use cell phones.
Oh, that works better.
Wow.
Hey. Charity, you stop it.
Well,
hey,
dude, it's the artist.
I know.
Yeah, she left early. That's a problem.
Hey, we have the social. Don't worry.
Yeah, she'll be at the social.
And Lisa? Okay.
Yeah.
You have my information correctly?
I believe so, as long as it hasn't changed within the last year.
Yeah. Oh, no, not last year. Last spring.
Last spring?
Yeah.
I got spring. Yeah.
Okay. And she, Otis left early, so I had to give her the money sometime.
Yeah, she'll be at the social one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, great.
That'll be fun playing cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be
I'm looking
fun,
forward
yeah.
to that.
I am too.
An artist brought Skippo, which I haven't played
I've
in years.
I've never played
Skippo. I'm excited.
Is it Braille print?
Yes.
That's great.
It's just, it's a kind of a counting game. It's kind of fun.
Oh, that sounds fun. Wow, we had more business than an hour.
We did, yeah. And
yeah.
It's half of it came up yesterday.
Yeah.
Or Thursday, I mean.
Yeah. I'll talk to you guys in a couple hours.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sounds good. Have a good lunch. Have a good lunch, everybody.
Yeah. All right, be
soon. See you guys soon.
See you soon.